Halashing for Halas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. for Essen Fressen, where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, or Boba Shah, as some people like to call me. And today I'll be sharing some meat-free recipes, which seems to be going against the migraine. But it's the 9 days and there are certain obligations and certain restrictions. One of them is no meat and chicken during those 9 days, except on Shabbos, of course, where you can have meat and chicken. So I'll share some recipes for during the 9 days, some milchik and some paruf recipes for you, some fish dishes, Mediterranean dishes, a nice Thai curried fish, pasta. We'll share a couple of things with you. And I'm going to discuss my herb of the week before I start with any of the recipes. And this week, my herb is flat leaf parsley. We all know that parsley is a lovely decorative greenville. But remember, we get two types. We get the flat leaf and then we get that curly cousin. So, I mean, the Italian flat leaf, from a kashrut point of view, is the only way to go because it's so much easier to check. For me, the flat leaf parsley or the Italian parsley is just more tasty. Some would disagree with me. Some would say, no, the other one's tasty. But curly cousin, I don't know, seems a little bitter for my mouth. Anyway, interestingly, the herb actually acts as a natural breath freshener. So after that lovely garlic steak, or next week coming up after that lovely garlic pasta, munch on a bunch of flat leaf parsley, and that should help get rid of that garlicky breath. Parsley actually has some of the most wonderful nutrients and vitamins and all. It's so good for you. And in fact, people have parsley tea, which is natural diuretic. It has a diuretic effect that may also help relieve water retention and bloating, which is lovely to have after pasta or something heavy. So, seeing as it's such a wonderful herb, let's get cracking and grow some. And in fact, it's such an easy herb to grow, you actually won't believe it. So off you go to the supermarket and buy yourself a parsley plant. I mean, you can go the seed route, but that really takes 10 weeks before you actually get to that supermarket little plant. So, as we're an immediate gratification generation, let's just buy the pot plant. And as with most herbs, parsley does best in a sunny area. It needs about 6 hours of sunshine. Now, here's something important about the parsley plant. Many, but not all herbs, are good companions for plants, for herbs. And it grows well with basil, chives, margarine, oregano, but don't plant it next to mint, dill, and cilantro, as they can easily cross-pollinate. And you really don't want a cilantro mint. That's not nice. And you don't want, I mean, a parsley mint sounds quite nice, seeing as it does freshen your breath, but they say don't plant it next to mint. And it really will grow into beautiful bush, and you can cut it back often. So even if you see some long pieces coming through, cut that off and make something with it, or put it in your soup or something. But new leaves do grow back quickly. So the more you cut, the bushier your plant will become, and it keeps producing throughout the season. And as I said, focus mainly on removing the old, longer stems, allowing the young ones to come through in their place. Parsley also needs just to be watered 2 or 3 times a week. If parsley runs out of water, it will start wilting. You'll start notice it wilting. Quickly give it some water and you won't believe how it will just spring back to life. So now, how do we store parsley in the fridge? Okay, to extend the life of fresh parsley, wrap the bunch in a damp paper towel and store it in a closed container in the refrigerator. I promise you, this does work. But let's make a recipe. Let's make some chimichurri sauce with parsley and a few other herbs. So what you will need is 20 grams of coriander, 20 grams of mint, and 20 grams of parsley, 4 garlic cloves, 1 green chili, 1 lemon juiced, 1/2 a cup of olive oil, 1 teaspoon of salt, and 1 tablespoon, I would say, of red wine vinegar or brown vinegar. Now, you may need to add a pinch of sweetness to this. Taste it. You be the judge. But what you really want is like a really herby kind of taste. And all you do, stick it all in the food processor and process it until it becomes like a nice. This is magnificent over, dare I say it, because we're going into the 9 days. But before we go into the 9 days, treat yourself to a beautiful steak and cover it with lashings of this beautiful chimichurri sauce. But as I say, taste the sauce. See, maybe you want more garlic in it, as I do. Maybe you want a little less mint. Taste it for yourself. Create it for your own mouth. Now, they always say parsley's old-fashioned to put on a platter, but to me, everything needs a little bit of parsley on top of it or some kind of herb to bring it to life. Remember, it's all about enticing people to eat, and I think that freshness, the freshness of a herb, entices people to eat. Coming up after the break, we will be chatting about some lovely dishes for the 9 days. Fish dishes, pasta dishes, all sorts of different dishes. So stay tuned, don't miss out.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is SN Fresen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the SN Fresen show. I'm Sharon Lurie and I'm going to be sharing some recipes for the 9 days. The 9 days where we can't eat any meat and chicken. So I'm going to start off with one of my family's favorites, and that is a green Thai curry fish stew, so to speak. Okay, what you will need is 500 grams of frozen hake loins or the steaks. I don't like using the fillets because I find that the little bits on the end are just, you want nice cubes and you want to cut them into about 3 by 3 centimeters. You will also need 1 large onion, roughly chopped, 2 to 3 garlic cloves, add a bit more if you want, 1 heaped tablespoon of fresh ginger grated, 1 heaped tablespoon of fresh turmeric grated, 1/2 a teaspoon of cumin spice, 2 tiny hot green chilies sliced. Now, use gloves when you're cutting these chilies up. If the kids are going to be eating with you, obviously, then maybe you just have 1 chili. But there's nothing wrong in getting your children used to hot, spicy things. 1 tablespoon of lime juice, 1 teaspoon of lime zest, 1 stick of lemongrass, which you smash and then you slice it up, 1 tablespoon of mild curry powder, 1 teaspoon of dried and crushed curry leaves. You can use a fresh if you want, but you can get dried curry leaves. I can't remember. I think they come in a little packet. I can't remember which company makes them. And then you'll need 20 to 30 grams of coriander, finely chopped. This is your secret, your coriander. For those who don't eat coriander, put in parsley. That's fine. 400 mils of coconut milk, and then you're going to serve it over basmati rice. Now, it may seem like, oh boy, have I got different spices and herbs and everything in there, but you cannot believe the flavor. It's just absolutely delicious. So go to town on that, and I promise you'll have them coming back for more. Well, so what you have to do is you add a drizzle of vegetable oil to a large pan on medium to high heat and fry the onions for 1 to 2 minutes. Now, little secret here. I use sesame oil for this. You can use vegetable oil, but if you have sesame, use the sesame oil. Then you add the garlic, the ginger, turmeric, cumin, and chilies. And you continue to cook for another 3 minutes to get all those beautiful flavors out. And then you add the lime juice and the zest and the lemongrass, the powder, and the curry leaves. If you don't want to add curry leaves, you can leave it out. But a lovely rich taste and lovely greenery. So just speak to the sauce. You add your coriander and you stir it and you combine it. The smell that is going to come off that frying pan is absolutely wonderful. And then you pour the mixture into a food processor with the coconut milk and you blend it until it's smooth. And this is your green curry mixture. Now, if you want to, you can double up and you can keep half of it for another day. Or you can stick it in a little Ziploc and stick it in your freezer. Then you add the cubed fish to that curry sauce. And you heat it on medium heat for about 10 to 15 minutes. Just to cook the fish through. Now, what I did, because my family love, everything must look good and look brown. Look, you know, eatable and caramelized. So I actually quickly flash fried the fish over very high heat, and then I added it to the sauce mixture, and I boiled it up and left it to rest for about, not simmering, just leave it to rest in the pot, and that heat also helps to cook the fish through. And leave it there for about half an hour so that it absorbs all those beautiful flavors. And then you serve it along with your favorite rice, or basmati rice is what I use. And there you have one meal.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Now, a basic Italian tomato sauce is something that I always have in my freezer. I have I buy those 1 liter buckets, and I always have it in the freezer ready to take out as and when I need it. I mean, you can make soup from it. You can, I'll tell you how many different things you can make, but let's make it first. So you'll need 2 large onions, roughly chopped. Yeah, I love onions, as you can see. Everything, all my basics have got onion in them. 1 large carrot, roughly chopped. So you've got your 2 large onions, roughly chopped, your large carrot, roughly chopped, and a little bit of olive oil for frying. Then you'll need a teaspoon of crushed fresh garlic. Now, this is optional. 1 cup of dry wine, like a Merlot, not a Shabbos grape wine. That's too sweet. Or you can use 1 chicken stock cube dissolved in 1 cup of boiling water if you don't want to use the wine. But the wine, remember, you're going to be boiling the wine up so the alcohol boils out and leaves a lovely rich taste to your tomato sauce. You'll need 3 by 495 gram Italian chopped tomatoes with a liquid. So it's just like a tin of Italian chopped tomatoes. 200 grams of tomato paste, 2 teaspoons of sugar or equivalent sweetener. Remember, you always need a pinch of sugar in your tomato sauce. Otherwise, it's very can be a bit tart. Then you'll need 30 grams of fresh basil. Half will be used in the sauce and the rest towards the end of the cooking process. And 1 teaspoon of dried oregano or 2 tablespoons of fresh. Just pull the leaves off and you can use that. Salt and pepper to taste, obviously. So we heat the oil in a medium heavy base saucepan over medium to high heat. And then we add the onions and the carrots. And we allow that to soften for about 7 minutes until the onions are translucent and just lightly caramelized. You need that lovely light caramelization to make it a lovely, hearty, rich Italian tomato sauce. Then you stir in the garlic and the wine and you cook it for about another 3 to 5 minutes to cook out the alcohol. Then you add the tomatoes, the tomato paste, the sugar, half the basil, and half the oregano. And you bring that to a simmer. You add salt and pepper to your taste. Then turn down the heat to the lowest it can go. And you just let it cook for about 45 minutes, stirring occasionally. But the lid must be lying on top and because it does tend to spit up at you. And you allow the sauce to thicken, stirring every so often. So towards the end, you take the lid off and leave it lying loosely on the top. And be careful because you don't want the bottom to catch because there's nothing worse than burnt tomato paste sauce. And it will get thicker and richer the longer it cooks. And if you feel it's too textured, you can whiz it a few times with your hand blender. And then you finally add the other half of the basil and the oregano. Now, test the seasoning. Drizzle in a little extra virgin olive oil over the sauce. And remember that you can also sprinkle a little bit of olive oil when you put it on top of pasta or whatever you're going to serve it with, and it just gives that lovely shiny look to it. So a couple of ideas with this tomato sauce. To make a rosé pasta sauce, you just add a dash of cream to the tomato sauce. To make an arrabbiata sauce, you add 2 red seeded chilies to the onions when you're frying the sauce. It's because the arrabbiata is quite a spicy kind of sauce. To make a puttanesca sauce, you add capers, olives, marinated red peppers, and a little trick here, a heaped teaspoon of anchovy paste, or more, depending on your taste. If you prefer more anchovy taste to it, then you add more. You can also make pasta alla norma, and I use 250 grams of the ready-made Israeli sliced eggplant, which is available at most of your delis, and you chop it into the tomato sauce while it's cooking. It can be quite spicy, but it's fun. It's nice. Otherwise, you can cook your own by slicing and baking your own eggplant by slicing and baking or frying in a little olive oil until soft and golden brown. Or it can be purchased, as I say, ready-made. So those are a couple of ideas for your tomato sauce. You can also use this tomato sauce with a tuna lasagna, which is also delicious. You can use the tomato sauce as a soup. So I add a little bit of water to it. I add a packet of Imana tomato powder to it, tomato soup mix. Then I add a little bit of cream to it. If I want to keep it pareve, then I add coconut cream to it and add a little bit more basil. And there you have a beautiful tomato soup. Serve that with some beautiful, fresh, crusty bread and butter. And for me, that could even be a meal. Another idea for the 9 days was something that we did last year and went down really well. We did a mezze platter. And if you ask me, a mezze platter is the perfect solution for feeding a crowd. So you can actually do this on a Sunday. It is really simple. And most of the stuff you can buy and just put it on this platter. What is a mezze platter? Basically, a mezze platter is a selection of small dishes, typically served as appetizers or a light meal. And it originates in the Mediterranean, Middle East area. And it's a social way of dining where everyone shares from a central platter. And it encourages conversation. It's a relaxed atmosphere. You can eat when you want. It's a big, cold platter of Middle Eastern and Mediterranean foods. Almost like if you're having meat, it would be like a charcuterie board. But with the focus now on the 9 days, we are going to focus on dips and spreads and fresh or cooked vegetables, all served cold. So what would we put on it? The first thing that we want is the most important: flavors, colors, and textures. So what I put on my mezze platter was a pile of falafel, another little section of hummus, tahina, eggplant, a variety of typical Mediterranean dips, like an olive dip or lovely big juicy olives. You can put those on your platter with, most important, fresh, warm, beautiful pita. And you can accompany this by blocks of feta cheese, different kinds of cheeses, beautiful red baby tomatoes, crispy cucumber, asparagus, artichokes, fish balls. You can have a little pile of tuna if you want on the side, roasted cauliflower in za'atar and olive oil. And this is so easy to do. You just stick the cauliflower into the oven for about, until it starts going brown. You just sprinkle a bit of olive oil over it, some za'atar, bake it, roast it for about 20 minutes until it's dark on about 200, quite high, so that it doesn't, when you serve it, it's not it's not soggy cauliflower. It's like a nice crisp-ish kind of cauliflower. You can also put some avo dip or some fresh avo. Put that on last because, you know, avos tend to go a bit dark. You can put some cream cheese and combine it with fish paste. And that makes a lovely fish dip. Roasted peppers, roasted eggplant, roasted beetroot drizzled in tahina or balsamic vinegar. And put that all on your platter. I mean, you can have marinated mushrooms, pickled vegetables. Plan in advance so that you can make your pickled vegetables and put that on a platter. You can put bowls all around your platter. If you don't have a platter, get some brown paper and just fill this your brown paper with all these lovely mezze delights. And I think that's about it for the mezze platter. I'm sure that you'll come up with lots more once you start thinking about it. You can actually put some smoked salmon on if you want to. There's lots of things. And it's just a fun way to eat as a family. But don't forget the beautiful hot pita bread. Now for a really simple pasta dish. It's a pesto pasta dish with a white kind of sauce that you don't have to make up the white sauce. Don't panic. It's really simple. We'll need a little bottle of pesto, which you can either get from Fresh Villas, you can get from most places. I like the pesto, the princess pesto, and I use the basil pesto. And then what you do is you mix the pesto. Half a bottle of the pesto to start off. You'll see maybe you'll want a little bit more. And you mix it with 2 cups of cream and 1 cup of milk. You may need a little bit more milk. Depends on how thick you like your sauce. But it's not meant to be a thick sauce. It's actually meant to be more of like a pourable sauce. Like an Alfredo kind of sauce. And you bring that to the boil. You add to it a packet of the Checkers creamy onion soup. And this sort of brings it all together. It gives it a lovely flavor, lovely texture. And if you want to, you can add mushrooms to it. I just leave it plain with the pesto, the white sauce, and pour it over your favorite pasta. I like linguine. You can use whatever pasta you want. Cook it according to the instructions. And then you just either add the sauce to the pasta or add the pasta to your sauce. Then you can top it with some lovely Parmesan cheese, and there you have a great pasta meal. So coming up after the break, we will be crossing over to Adrian Bugatti, who has tips on budgeting and budgeting meals.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Good morning. We're talking today about budgeting and things. And, well, it's been holiday season, so it made me kind of think of budgeting for school holidays and how do you plan it. One of the most important things is that I feel is that when we go on holiday, we tend to over cater. We tend to, you know, maybe they'll be having this, maybe they'll be having that. And a lot of food comes home unused or gets left behind for whoever comes to clean the apartment that you've been staying at or at the hotel or whatever it is. So it's important to understand that when you are going away, you need to plan just as carefully as if you were staying at home, if not more carefully. And that's because you've got to count on space in your car. If you're kosher, you're taking all the food and everything with you. So we need the space in the car, we need the space in the suitcases, wherever you're going. It's one of the things, and also, is it going to get to your destination without falling apart? So it's one of the challenges I've just recently discovered was I was doing a trip with people and had to take ready-made food, and the food, the packaging did not hold up, even with a fragile sticker on the plane, with the suitcases getting bashed around like they were. So it's important to understand that when you are packing to go away, you need to also understand that the containers that you use need to be nice and tight. They need to be preferably as hard as possible, unbreakable. And that everything you're going, if you're taking cooked food, everything needs to be double wrapped. Because even in your own car, if you're driving down with your trip, your food is going to move around. You've got to sometimes, for lack of space, pack things in a certain way, and it's got to all fit together. So that's the first tip I have for holiday. The second tip is to make a meal plan. I'm sure you guys are tired of hearing me talk about meal plans, but meal plans are extremely important, especially when you're going on holiday. You don't want to have to think about what are you going to eat each day and who's going to have what. You want to be able to pack your stuff and know that that's what you're eating and that you only need to buy your fresh fruit and vegetables wherever you're going to be, if you're going to be. We've had it once where we were going away and landed up that there was no shop within a 2-hour driving distance of where we were. We had to, thankfully they had kosher milk, but we had to go into the shop that is on the premises of where we were staying. And I think we paid like 3 times the price for the milk. So that's another thing that you have to be aware of, is that you know what you're taking with, how much you're taking with. Do you need to take with? That's another thing. Do we need to take with? How many people who travel kosher, how many of you take with your tin tuna without checking that there's a Pick and Pay or a Checkers or a Woolworths right around the corner to where you're staying, or that 6060 delivers, or ASAP delivers, you know, DoorDash, or whatever it's called, from Woolworths. Just knowing those kind of things. Then your snacks in the car, If you've got little kids, please don't pack energy bars and Powerades, because by the time you get to your destination, you're going to want to run away from the family. So packing nice things, packing snacks that are healthy, like dried fruits, low sugar stuff, bottled waters. And if you are going to do juices, make sure that the stops you plan are places where the kids can get out and run around for a little bit to burn off some of that excess energy from sitting still for so long. So that's another important thing, is to plan your breaks. You do need to break every 2 hours, according to health and, the Road User Act as well, says you shouldn't do more than 200 kilometers or 2 hours without a break. And having just done a 6-hour drive, I quite agree with them. Taking a break every 2 hours means you get there refreshed, or not refreshed, but not as exhausted as you would normally. And then also not having bought snacks from home, not having to buy the snacks at the roadside or the stop rest stop places is cheaper, because obviously they don't have the buying power of a large chain store. So everybody knows that if you run into a petrol station, a convenience store, and buy your chocolate or your milk, it's more expensive than if you buy it from a big name brand store, say, for example, a spa or something like that. That's an important factor on taking your trips. So think about your food carefully. Think about what can be frozen and taken frozen. Think about what can be bought while you're on holiday. You don't really want to spend your holiday at the shops anyway, getting food for the family and trying to organize that. And then once your holiday is over, unfortunately, it's time to plan for school, for back to school again. And once again, those snacks need to be planned in advance so that you can buy them once off. It's important for you to know, like if you're coming back like literally the day before school starts, that you've already bought those snacks in advance and they've been sitting in your cupboard at home waiting for you so that you can make a nutritious snack or lunch for school time and then for after school as well. Enjoy the rest of your cold July holidays. I hope everybody has planned it well and did not run into any problems or run out of anything while they were away. I'm Adrian Bugatti, and we were talking about a budgeting. Back to Sharon.
Halashing for halas? Want to bry or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, and we're talking about the 9 days and the different meals that we're going to serve and different ideas. And if one thing that I have to serve during the 9 days is blintzes. Why? I don't know. Our family love blintzes. We love savory blintzes. And whipping up a batch of homemade crepes is certainly an option, but if cooking and cleaning up and putzkering around is not on the cards for you, then pop on down to Sandringham Spa or your favourite bakery and get some at the perfect canvas for your culinary creativity with zero hassle. You get the beautiful pancakes all made up. There's savory ones, there's sweet ones, and I'm going to share a couple of savory filling ideas with you. So here are a couple of savory filling ideas. You have to put them into the crepe and fold it over on each side, roll it up and put it into a baking dish. So you can do spinach and feta. You can do mushrooms and tuna. You can do asparagus. You can do baby marrow mushrooms. You can combine pesto, feta, and cream cheese mixed with a raw egg and fill a blintzer with that. What about olives, marinated peppers, and cream cheese? What about smoked salmon, cream cheese, and capers? Sun-dried tomatoes even, and mascarpone. All different fillings that you can put into your blintzes, roll them up, and cuff them with a beautiful velvety cheese sauce. And for the cheese sauce, you will need 1 tablespoon of butter, 1 tablespoon of flour, 1 teaspoon of Parev chicken stock, the powder that is, 1 bay leaf, 3 cups of milk, 1 cup of cream, 1 teaspoon mustard powder, and half a teaspoon of crushed garlic, and a little bit of fresh parsley is fine to put on top if you want to. So what I do is I melt the butter in a medium saucepan over medium heat. And once it's completely melted, I add the flour and the chicken stock and I whisk it to mix it well together. Now, a very, very important utensil in the kitchen has to be a whisk, probably one of my favorites. So you whisk that all together. You remove the pot or pan, whatever you're using, from the heat. You add the cream, continuously whisking until all the lumps are out. And you add the milk as well. You return the pan to the heat. You add the mustard powder, the garlic. You can add the parsley as well. And you bring it to a slow boil over the same heat until it thickens up slightly. And then once it's thickened, it's just very slight thickening. You remove it from the heat and you add the bay leaf. And the sauce is now ready to use in your favorite, on top of your favorite blintzes, savory blintzes. What you can do is, with this white sauce, you can also make fettuccine alfredo. You can make baked gnocchi. So you cook the gnocchi as per the instructions on the packet. You can get the gnocchi at Fresh Fillers. And you add in some frozen spinach if you want to. Add the white sauce and top that with cheddar and bake it until it's lovely golden and bubbly. You can also do a pasta primavera, and where you lightly fry some vegetables. I like to use baby marrows, asparagus, all sort of finely chopped. Peas, you can even add tomatoes, broccoli, peppers, spring onions, whatever you want to add. And you stir it through with a little bit of the zest of the lemon and pour that through your sauce and onto your pasta. So those are just a few ideas for a couple of more savory dishes and blintzes. And as for the sweet ones, now you can also get sweet blintzes, crepes, which have got cinnamon already on them. And one of the filling that I really love the most in a sweet blintzer is apples, tinned apples, cinnamon, and raisins. And you fold it into the blintzer, roll it up, and then you warm it through and you cover it with custard. Mmm, it's delicious. You can also do bananas and Nutella in the same way and cover that with custard when you're ready to serve it. And talking about bananas, here is a simple banana dessert which goes down so well with a creamy vanilla ice cream. It's rich, but oh, it's delicious. So you peel 6 ripe bananas, and you cut them in half lengthways. And you place them side by side in a baking dish. Not too big, otherwise the sauce evaporates too quickly. And you place 2 tablespoons of brown sugar in the bottom of the baking dish. A little bit of spray and cook first, then the sugar. Sprinkle a little bit of cinnamon over that. Then you place the bananas on top of the cinnamon sugar and you add a tin of condensed milk and you bake this for 30 minutes on 180, preheated oven. You allow it to cool and you spread you beat up some cream and you spread it over the dessert and then you refrigerate it. Well, it is so sweet, so yummy and just plain simply delicious. So there you have a couple of options for the 9 days. And I hope it's a good one for you. And if I don't speak to you before, well, over the fast, on the 9th of Av. And hopefully we'll be joining you in a few weeks' time. And guess what we're going to be discussing? I think we are going towards Rosh Hashanah recipes.